What do you think?
Yeah, NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Australia. It is Wednesday, November 28. I am your host, James Clements. A slightly more healthy James Clements. You can hear it in my voice, mate. That spark of life is back. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. As we wrap up, after every day of NBA action, it's just what we do here at NBA Australia, while wrapping Australia a little bit, mate. So, pretty chill day in the NBA today. We had LeBron's Lakers getting too high in Denver and crapping the bed. Memphis got jumped by the Raps, and Darren Collison ended DeAndre Ayton's career. So that's all going to be covered with the usual dumb arsery. That's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and our back takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grill takes. So it's going to be great. And because it's Wednesday, we've also got a brand new Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week, and a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Nice. We're also going to finish up by previewing and picking all 10 games for tomorrow. We've got basically every Australian in action tomorrow, apart from, I believe, Aaron Bangers Baines. But we'll do that, and then we'll close out with a new Jingles HR with Joe Ingles answering a question from Washington. Because why not? All right, that's it. Let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 192. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or you better watch out for the attack of, I don't know, getting too high in Denver and then having to play the next day. Lakers. Alright, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. It's a daily whip around. It's what we do, and it's just how we go. So let's do the damn thing, shall we? Also, thanks to all the people who actually messaged in with, hey, man, feel better. It's like, oh, thanks, dudes. Appreciate it. I was well looked after by old mate. She went into overdrive and just went, all right, fucking settle down, mate. You need to chill. I'm like, nah, man, but I've got to watch a bunch of basketball, eh? And she's like, nah, sit the fuck down. I'm like, oh, I can do that while watching basketball. Anyway, so she looked after me. Now I'm feeling a little bit better. It's pretty good. So the news today, there wasn't much, as mentioned. It's a very slow news day. So let's just roll into it. I mean, the Bears offered D-Wade's newborn daughter a contract, I guess, which is a thing. No, it's actually more that they sent through a bunch of baby Bears clothes and junk with the baby's first contract, which is nice. D-Wade is very funny, and that was pretty neat. So the weird thing is, I'm like, why do the Bears need to do this? Pretty sure D-Wade can afford to buy himself some baby Bears clothes and whatnot. Bears, come on. You're in Chicago. Damn it, spread that love around. Jesus. All right, let's just roll straight into today's rap, shall we? Yeah, let's do the damn thing. Well, the New York Knickerbockers of New York City went into the Detroit basketball and got their ass beat. 115-108, Detroit win. Knicks shot 40%, and they're led by Alonzo Trier. He was awesome. 24-10-7. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Tim Hardaway the Lesser had 19. Josh Duxon, he had 17 points as well. Enes the Penis had 16 and 14, and both Mitchie Robinson and Noah Vonleh got fouled out in this one. Mitch in 17 minutes, he got 4 fouls in the third quarter and was done. It was hilarious. The Pistons, Blake had 30 points, 5 assists. Spudley Stanley had 21 points. Also had the game-saving block on Alonzo Trier at the end. It's pretty good. Reggie Jackson, he had 21 as well. Old Andre Drummond, he had 6 points, 14 rebounds, sure. But this is great. So you had a bit of a Tim Hardaway the Lesser, Trey Burke, and little big dog Glenn Robinson, Michigan, sort of catch up. And they are between what? So little big dogs on Detroit, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway the Lesser on the Knicks, and they proceeded to all shoot a combined 6 of 24. just as good as their goddamn football team on the weekend. So there you go. Knicks dropped a 7-15. Detroit are 11-7, cruising along. Atlanta, they went into Miami. Hawks had a 19-point lead in the second half. He came all the way back, but Richo, just like his name, well, namesake, Richo, Richmond Tigers legend, got the team back in it and then couldn't finish the job. Classic Richo, if you ask me. Mr. Wide Open, three-pointer, basically with 2 seconds left, that would have won the game. No dice. The Heat, they did that without Goran the Flog Dragic and Tyler Johnson. 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals for Richo. Pretty good. D-Wade backed up his 35 against Toronto the other day with 18, and Wayno Ellington had 15 as well. Can never trust that spud after he rolled into Brooklyn and just sputted up an entire year. You know, he goes down to Miami like a year later and he's lighting the place on fire from 3 when he was in Brooklyn. Couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn, mate. For the Hawks, Taurean the Red Bull Prince had 18. Trae Young finished with 17 points and 10 assists. We'll talk about him a little bit later. And John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, added 16 too. Atlanta, weirdly enough, a 2-0 against Miami this season and 3-16 against everybody else. That's wild. The Heat have now lost 6 straight at home. They dropped to 7-13. Atlanta are 5-16 overall. That's wild. Toronto beat Memphis in Memphis, 122-114. The Raptors were trailing the Grizz by 9 points with about 9 minutes left in the fourth. And they proceeded to hit 7 of 11 threes and win the game by 8. That was unreal. It was unbelievable. It was legitimately wild. It was like an 11-0 rally that basically put them over the top. And look, for the Grizz, Mark the Coach Killer Gasol, he had 27 points, hit 4 threes himself. Mike Conley, he had 20 points and 6 assists. Kyle Anderson, slow-mo. And Jermichael Green had 13 each. Garrett Temple, 12. Caspi and Orlando Magic legend Sheldon Mack had 10 too. So not much else though for the Grizz. Rough one. For the Raps, big booty Kyle Lowry had 24 points and 6 assists. Crushed it. Freddie Van Vliet of the Fighting Van Vliet, he had 18 points. It was perfect from the floor. It was 6-6. And Kawhi, he finished with 17 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And Siege had 16. So the Grizz, they lose their third straight game after hitting the top of the West. They're now 12-8. And the Raptors win their 6th straight. They're 18-4. It's the best in the NBA. Pretty good. Pretty good. Lakers, they go into Denver and get and lose 117-85. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, anytime you get smoked by 32, Jesus, you know, you've smoked up a fucking bunch before the game. This is only an 8-point game at the half as well. Denver just blew their fucking doors off. Lakers only had 3 players in double figures. They shot 39% from the field. They got into that Denver mile. Can't you just see Lonzo and Kuz like jumping fences to steal bits of hose for their Gatorade bottle bomb? JaVale's like out there trying to find a 44-gallon drum to make a bucket bomb. He's got like a fucking giant 4-gallon giant fucking milk bottle or something. He's like, oh, guys, it's going to be sick, man. Classic JaVale. LeBron James, he had 5 of 15 shooting today. Not great for 14 points. 0 of 4 from 3. Didn't even hit a shot outside the paint in this game, did Bron. Brutal. Kuz had 21, 3 and 3. Spindles Ingram, underwhelmed as usual with 14. Lonzo, he hurt his left ankle, limped off to the locker room, came back a little bit later. Finished up with 7, 5 and 2. Classic Lonzo. The Nugs, no Dartsman, the Dartsman Gary Harris for the second straight game. Didn't matter. Thrill Sap, he had 20 and 11. It's pretty good. Joker, he had 14 points, 7 rebounds and 7 assists. Jam and Jamal Murray had 20 and so did Malik Beasley. That dude is crushing it like every third game. Love it. On you, Malik. LA dropped to 11-9. That is LeBron's worst start to a season since 2007. Jeez. Denver are 14-7 as well. Not bloody bad. And there you go. Good job, Denver. Crushing it. Indy finally went into Phoenix and won on a back-to-back, 109-94. Pacers, pretty handy. Won it on a wild sequence where Miles Turner hit a 3. Devin Booker took it back down the other end. Tied it up again with a 3 with about 30 seconds left. Then Bojan Bogdanovic hit a wild and big 3 from a Miles Turner pass. It was awesome. Devo went back up the other way and like basically his 3 was in and out. It was brutal. But that was it. So Indy win. For the Suns, TJ Warren had 25 TJ Warren points. He was the only good one actually out there for Phoenix today. Booker had 20 points on 21 shots. 7 of 21 he shot. Kobe! He also had 8 assists though. So it's a little bit better than Kobe. DeAndre Ayton had 18 and 12. Josh Jackson played 22 minutes, only had 8 points, but he's playing his way back into the good books, seemingly. Last couple of games have been both over 20 minutes a game. Good job, Josh Jackson. Pretty handy when, you know, you're a top draft pick and your coach decides to actually fucking play you. For the Pacers, DeMatis Sabonis there. 21 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. The Souvlaki King crushed it. So did Miles Turner, 16 and 13 with 5 blocks. 21 points for Dougie McBuckets as well. Nice. And 15 as well for Big Dick Bojan Bogdanovic for hitting that giant 3. Nice one, mate. I met him once. He's lovely. Phoenix, they're now 4 and 16, and Indy are 13 and 8 and keeping their heads above water without Victor Oladipo. But that just leads us to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a knife.
That was a knife. I mean, it could have been Blake's 30. It could have been Gasol or Lowry. They were pretty good as well. But this one actually goes to the combo of Miles Turner and DeMatis Sabonis there, the Souvlaki King. They absolutely crushed it. They combined for 37 points, 29 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 blocks. And between the two of them are keeping Indy afloat without Victor Oladipo, which could be very, very crucial later this season. So good job, DeMatis. Oh, yeah, thanks, DeMatis. I'll have, just give me the full chicken. No tomato. Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers. Love you, DeMatis. You're a little ripper, mate. The Souvlaki King smashing it. Good on yous. That is the approved performance of the night from NBA Australia. What about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? How about Tim Hardaway the Lesser? That's right. His dad didn't give a shit when he hit a halftime buzzer beater, which is pretty brutal. I mean, you might not be as good as your old man there, Tim Hardaway the Lesser, but at least you want him to pay attention and maybe encourage you for doing something good, right? Jesus. So when your dad's kind of like, nah, whatever. Yeah, that's a definite old mate, no mates. Also, he didn't shoot very well and didn't have a great night. I mean, he ended up with his 19 points, but they weren't a very good 19 points, if you know what I'm saying. Because, look, 5 of 15 shooting, Tim Hardaway Sr. would be like, oh, I could do that in my fucking sleep, mate. He could probably still do that, actually, to be honest, in a game. Good shit. So there you go. That was old mate, no mates. What about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. This could have actually been LeBron James. 5 of 15, missed all his shots basically outside the paint. That's brutal. But we'll give it to a pair of Knicks, shall we? Emmanuel Mudiay and Trey Burke. Mudiay shot 4 of 13 and Burke was 1 of 8. Oh, brutal. That is some definite sputting up of the joint. Pantsing of the night goes to Jam and Jamal Murray waving goodbye to the notorious KCP as the Lakers got pantsed by 32. But also, as mentioned at the top of this, Darren Collison saying Timber and sending DeAndre Ayton crashing to the ground. That was an absolute pantsing of the highest order, and I loved every second of it. Ah, it's pretty good. They should call him the Lumberjack now, Darren Collison, because he just knocked him over. Just like an old Tassie Redwood. All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Ah. Trae Young, so this is usually better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball, but Trae Young today was pretty bloody good. 17 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. Only shot 5 of 12 from the field though, 2 of 5 from 3. And Lonzo, Jesus, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. How about a Lonzo Trier though? The undrafted rookie did better than, had basically their stats combined. He had 24 points. That's the exact same as Trey and Lonzo put together, and 10 rebounds. Put them together, and what do you have? He also had 7 assists. Sure, Trey had 10, but Jesus. Alonzo Trier, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, undrafted. Did the Knicks actually find someone good on the scrap heap? That's awesome. Good job, Knicks. Alonzo Trier, you're amazing, and you are, today, better than Trey Young and Lonzo Ball combined. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, it's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one. Whoa. So we're talking about this yesterday quickly. Hey, should anyone actually even bother trading for Markelle Fultz at the moment? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, if you can get him at a steep discount and if you're somewhere like Phoenix, where you're like, hey, man, just come in here. We kind of like the cut of your jib and we need another ball handler next to Devin Booker. Let's roll the dice and see how we go. And if, you know, they want to flip over Josh Jackson for him or something, the Sixers would jump at that in a fucking heartbeat, I'd say. So, I don't know. Other than that, though, I mean, Orlando? Would they? Should they? Could they? Maybe? He'd at least be able to hang out there with no expectation whatsoever fucking ever on him, right? Because literally no one gives a fuck about Orlando. Like, Phoenix, at least when they're good, it's a really exciting NBA town and a really great fan base. But when they're shit, Jesus Christ. It's like they just fucking, like Arizona fell off the map. It's wild. Anyway, so they're basically the sort of two options that would make any sense right now for anyone to trade for Markelle. Other than that, fucking nah. And I mean, what are the Sixers going to get back for him anyway? Like nothing, right? So unless you get something half decent from those two dudes, wouldn't bother. Number two, will LeBron James play until he can play with or against his son? Oh, yeah, nah, yeah, I reckon. So he said this today. LeBron told the Tim Ferriss podcast that he wants to see the floor with Bronny, his son, which probably means he'd be sticking around the NBA for at least another 5-6 years. He said, I would love to see the floor with my son. If he continues on the path he's on right now, he could possibly be in the NBA in 5 to 6 years. Mate, that's pretty awesome. I mean, to be honest, isn't that fun? I mean, if you're LeBron as well, why wouldn't you? Like, who's going to tell you in, like, what, 6 years' time that, nah, I'm not entirely sure if you should keep playing LeBron, as if he wouldn't still be a fucking bad MF-er, you know? He would absolutely be able to smash it, no doubt. So the full quote is, I'd love to see the floor with my son. My son is in eighth grade now. If he continues on the path he's on right now, he could possibly be in the NBA in 5 to 6 years. So that would be an unbelievable moment. For not only myself, but for my family, for everybody. So we'll see. Obviously, taking care of the body is number one. We'll continue to do that. But more importantly, taking care of the mind. If your mind is not fresh, then your body will fall at the wayside. So through the grace of the man above and through everything that myself and Mike, his trainer, and my support team do, that would be pretty daggone cool if I'm able to be on an NBA team with my oldest son. Also, turns out LeBron says daggone. Daggone cool. I mean, pretty freaking cool. What are you doing? Who says daggone? That's weird. Anyway, that would be sick. Yeah, nah, fucking yeah. Finally, is J.R. Smith the greatest inspirational leader ever? Yeah, nah, yeah. Because J.R., before he basically got bounced from Cleveland and told not to come to fucking work anymore, he called Trae Young the rookie of the year. And he was like, yeah, Colin Sexton can fucking eat my nuts. And so that was November 3. Since then, Trae Young is averaging 13 points a game on 33% shooting and shooting only 17% from three. The sex man, Colin Sexton, meanwhile, is averaging 18 points a game, shooting 50% from the field and 58% from three. That is absolutely fucking unreal. So good job, J.R. Smith. That's awesome. All right, what about today's look at me, unpopular opinion of the day? Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. I don't know if this is actually unpopular, but fuck it. LeBron should definitely play until he's like 45. Like, I reckon that'd be fucking sick. Like, I want to be arguing about LeBron until like 2030. Like, and just be like, nah, man, he's still playing. Like, no one's ever done it before, but he's going to play like 30 years in the NBA. It's fucking wild. So isn't he like 45? He's like, yeah, man, it's fucking sick, dude. So that would be sweet. I dig it. Also, I don't know, there was like the pretty neato quote from Mike Malone today from Denver. He's saying, as long as their fans go home disappointed, that is all I care about. Warriors fans can come in here, the Celtics fan can come in here, the Lakers fans can come in here, but take that L on the way out. I really feel like fucking more coaches should be just basically laying it out exactly like that. And anyone who doesn't is, you know, kind of a coward. All right, step on in to Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and that means 3-for-1. Bloomin' onions. That's right, no one knows what the fuck they are back in Australia. But it's a bloomin' onion. I think it's deep fried. I don't know how the fuck they cut it, but it kind of looks like chips. So anyway, we got 3-for-1 going here because no one wants to fucking buy the bloody things. And they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is, it's not too flame grilled, but this will be the year that a centre wins sixth man of the year because we've got Montrezl Harrell, Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, and my name is Jonas Valanciunas, basically leading the sixth man of the year awards, and behind them is probably Julius Randle. So a big man is going to win Sixth Man of the Year this year. The last time that happened was 1986. And that will change this year. There you go. That's today's Flame Grill Take. Only at Outback. Whoa. That's not really that flame grilled, right? Like between Montrezl, Domantas, Jonas, and Julius Randle, who basically plays center when he goes in because he's coming in, he's either next to Anthony Davis or he's like around Mirotić, right? So he's basically playing center as well. So it's like four centers coming in off the bench and probably leading sixth man of the year. So if anyone tells you different, they're a fucking idiot. All right, let's get through to Australian Player Watch. And what else we got? Oh, the Mark Brakey sweaty hairy guy and great moments in NBA Australia history right after this one.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. Quick NBA Straya Australian Player Watch today because no one played today. I was sort of sitting there just going, oh, fuck, I've got to hang some doors in this new house. You know, you're just sort of sitting there and go, what the fuck was that? It turns out one of the new doors fell off. It's fucking hinges. Well, it's an old door, old hinges. You see, you buy a house and you're like, oh, sick man, we've got a house. And then two doors fall off their fucking hinges. You're like, oh, I better put those doors back on their hinges. So I did that instead of watching like early games today because there's no Australians. So, but anyway, then I got back into it after that was all done. Anyway, so Big Simo, Ben Simmons, he's got the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City tomorrow. And he'll actually be sharing a city with Jingling Joe Ingles and Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe. You know they're out getting shit-faced right now, don't you? They're probably, what, just down the road there in the Lower East Side. There's a couple of Aussie bars there too. Probably hanging out with Job Watson at his fucking coffee shop first and then going for a couple of cans there. Hanging out, talking shit. What was that awesome Aussie bar down there too? I don't know. But still, Jingler Joe Ingles and Dante, they've got Brooklyn tomorrow. So everyone should be hanging out. King Daly of Maribor, first of his name, Smasher of Tins and Kung Fu Thon, hosts Chicago tomorrow. Paddy Thrills Mills is in Mini, and Ryan Rowdy Brockoff is in Houston. Aaron Bangers Baines is the only one not playing. So a quick update on the G League guys as well. Mitchie Creek had 7 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists versus Grand Rapids yesterday. Dengadal, his last game against Greensboro, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And Isaac Humphreys, same for him, 5 points, 2 rebounds against Greensboro the day after that. So averages for Mitchie Creek, 13.1 points, 53.2% from the field though, pretty good. 6.6 rebounds, 2.9 assists, and 1 steal a game. For Dengadal, he's dropped off a little bit in the last 4 or 5 games. 10.7 points, 5.9 rebounds, 2.7 assists. And Isaac Humphreys, 8.4 points, 5.1 rebounds for Erie. There you go. All right, how about the Mark Brakey sweaty, hairy guy of the week? Oh, we've already talked about him today. It's the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, just like his old man. Big fella works up a sweat very quickly. Hot damn. Tell you that, man. So when his dragon falls out of the primer and then dropping like long shots on them and or threes, then getting a million rebounds, you know he's just working hard. And you know he's hairy. Like, look at that beard. It's like that downy feathers on a young bird. I'm waiting for him to shed that and get his proper Sabonis growth of all that curly dark USSR hair. Crush it. So good job, Domantas. He got really sweaty today as well, watching that Pacers game. It was awesome. So good job on ya, Domantas. Smashed it, mate. And what do we do on a Wednesday as well? Oh, you know what it is. It's one of my favorites. It is. It's a great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Straya stat history.
Nice. How good is that? It was 21 years ago today in NBA Straya stat history that our mate and friend of the podcast, Chris Anstey. That's right, Chris Anstey, the original unicorn, aka Aussie Porzingis, started showing the NBA what he could do. He had his highest scoring game of his six-game young NBA rookie season. He had 6 points in 8 minutes, two rebounds and a block, showing that he could get it done on both ends. But it was a hell of a showing because Big Chriso wouldn't go on to top that score until February the next year. Just didn't get much run, which was a goddamn shame. So this was an early sign that he could be awesome, given the bloody chance. And to have the big fella out there in that Dallas Mavericks uni, though, at that time, was pretty bloody special to us back in Australia watching along, wasn't it? It was awesome. So that was a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. I still remember just going, oh, following along in whatever that weekly fucking NBA paper was over here. Not one on one the magazine, but there was a paper as well. Was it Sporting News? That was great. So we'd read this, smash it, and you'd sort of go, oh, what's Chris Anstey up to? So great job, Chris O'Anstey. That was a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board and some game previews right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Oh, and it's no Patty Mills tweets of late either. It's killing me there, Patty. But we do have, stepping up his Twitter game all of a sudden, is King Dally of Maryborough. First of his name, Smasher of Tins. He tweeted out a photo of himself yesterday with the caption, "Just hanging out with at Giannis Antetokounmpo 34. The best part was, it was Dally pictured with a massive Greek freak bobblehead. Classic Dally. Oh, mate. I reckon that's going to go straight to the pool room, that one. What do you reckon?
This is going straight to the pool room.
Yeah, I'd say so. Jeez. It was a perler. So good job, Dally. All right, let's get through to today's game previews. Game previews. Game previews. Thank you, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. You sound as nasally as me.
No shit, dude. Fucking hell. I can barely breathe. It's wild. All right, anyway, game previews for tomorrow. Let's have a look at this, the odds as well. Do some picks. I think we did pretty fucking well today, actually. Let's go back over that. It was pretty good. We had the Knicks 7.5, so that's a win. We also had Atlanta. We also had Toronto. We had Denver as well. Oh, no, we had the Lakers in that one. Oh, there you go. So we went 4-5. That's awesome. All right, let's get through to today's actual games, though. Well, tomorrow's games. Let's do the damn thing. What do we got? So, first cab off the rank, we have New York Knickerbockers hosting. No, they're going to Philly, jumping on the old Amtrak, Berlin down. Sixers at 12.5-point favorites. I will take the Sixers against the Knicks on a back-to-back. Big Simo out there crushing New York, hopefully staying away from Kendall. Oh, no, he's in Philly. Hopefully staying away from Kendall Jenner. That's a nice one. It's going to be fun. Big Simo, just watch him absolutely torch this Knicks team. Atlanta, go to Charlotte. You've got Kemba versus Trey again. I feel like they've played like 8 times already this season. Similar line for the Hornets as for the Sixers. 12.5-point favorites. I'll take that because the Hawks are also on a back-to-back. Those could be two very big smashings. The Nets at home hosting the Jazz are 3-point underdogs. I might take the Jazz. I think they're due for a big win, especially on the road. They've been much better on the road than they've been at home. So, look out for that one. And the Nets, I don't know, since they lost Karras, they've just been sort of weirdly very squirrely and have lost a lot. San Antonio go to Minnesota. Patty Thrills rolling in there. They're 4.5-point underdogs against Minnesota, which I guess makes sense, but I think I might take the Spurs against Mini. Even though they've been on a tear since they traded Jimmy Butler, just 4.5 points. Like, Minnesota might win this, but it'd be like by 2 or 3. So give me the 4.5 points with the Spurs. Dallas go to Houston. Love an all-Texas matchup. That's great. Houston, 6.5-point favorites. Oh, they've just lost three games straight, so I might have to take the points from the Mavs. +6.5. They might keep it close. They'll be fresh. They've only played one game in the last week, whereas Houston played three. So, yeah, give me the 6.5 from Dallas. Chicago visit Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Milwaukee, 13.5-point favorites. And you know what? I think I might take that. Chicago are a rabble at the moment. Had a really good game against the Spurs the other day, but can't really see them backing it up against Milwaukee, who are much better. Thunder host the Cavs. They are 13-point favorites as well. I think I'll take the 13-point favorites of the Thunder. -13, I'll take that. Pelicans host the Wiz. The Wiz are a fucking rabble. 6.5-point favorites, the Pelicans. I might actually take the Wiz, though. They've won three straight. 6.5 is a lot of points. Pelicans might win this, but it might not be an absolute smashing. So 6.5, I'll take that. Meanwhile, the Magic. Nice. They visit Portland, and they're 7-point underdogs, which is wild if anyone's watched fucking Portland play in the last week and a half. Jesus. Especially with all that length as well, right? All those long young dudes. You got Johnny Isaac, you got Mo Bamba, you've got Aaron Gordon, you got Vooch out there to give Nurkic a fucking test. I'll take the Magic +7. The Blazers might win this, but it's definitely not going to be a beatdown. Magic are playing everybody very hard fucking all the time. I mean, they nearly beat the Warriors the other day. How are they 7-point underdogs in that? That's wild. And then finally, the Suns meet the Clippers. Clippers are 12-point favorites in that. Suns on a back-to-back. I think I'll take the Clippers. -12. Sure. All right, good stuff. We're going to wrap all that tomorrow because that's it for today. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. Hopefully, I'll sound a little bit better. We're still working on this fucking studio, man. It's wild. I'm actually sitting here like a fucking... just with the mic in my hand. It's wild. Anyway, so in the meantime, make sure you're all over socials, NBA Twitter, on Facebook, Insta, all that good shit. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, whatever podcast app you use. We're on Stitcher. That's awesome. Get around that. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. They play at the Gasometer in Collingwood this Friday. I'll be there. I'll see you there. They're awesome. Their new single, I've Been Broken, plays behind Yeah Nah every episode of NBA Australia. It's a rip snorter. Go hit up Triple J, whatever radio station you listen to. Chuck him a request. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the other tunes in NBA Australia. They're awesome. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey, would ya? That's it. Stick around for a brand new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow. Yeah, dickheads. This is awesome. All right. Feeling better. Hopefully I'll be feeling even better tomorrow and like a little bit more energy. See how we go. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, later, horse on! Oh, g'day, you jingler jokers. It's Joe Ingles here, just popping into the office for all your HR needs with Jingles HR. Because as you all know, I'm not just a basketball player, I also run my own HR company. So, with my team struggling mightily at the moment, I need to get back out there and get some shots up and also talk some trash to Grayson Allen. So, let's get right into it for today, shall we? All right, this week's question comes from Bradley in Washington, D.C. To Joe, I hate my job. I hate the people I work with. I hate the people I work for. I hate the new people in the office. I hate the old people in the office. I think I want to leave and work somewhere else, but I'm also not sure if I want to leave. Can't they like just fire everyone else? I've said all the right things about wanting to stay where I am, but do you have any good advice for clearing all this up for me? Regards, Bradley, Washington, D.C. Well, 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 that sure is a predicament, isn't it, Bradley? Look, right off the bat, if you're having problems with your fellow employees, I take that directly to HR to try and sort out with a series of team building exercises and workshops. But if you're also having problems with management, then HR might also be a part of the problem you have with the organization. So that might not solve much. So, even if you have a sit down with management to work on yours and their KPIs and establishing better communication and talent management, and try to establish a learning culture and synergizing your expertise with their expectations, it might not help much, you know? So, I don't know. You could always just ask them maybe to sack or move on the people you don't get on with, I guess. But that just seems a bit harsh, and we don't do that in HR. Look, HR is always there to help Bradley, but sometimes the best way to move forward is moving forward to somewhere else that might help you move forward better as a human resource. Because as we always say here at Jingles HR, humans are resources. So if it involves making some background ultimatums or really just asking to move on to continue your career elsewhere, your options are now your center of expertise, Bradley. You are your own change agent. So best of luck, and here's hoping you make the most of your human resources. And that's it from Jingles HR this week. Oh, this has been Joe Ingles, and I'll catch us next week on NBA Australia.